Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Murray Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Murray, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Rushes.
Rushes, yes.
What's going on with rushes?
Well, there's a bunch of kind of weeds that can take over a farm if you let them. Docks are one. Now, that's often caused by spreading slurry, but you need to kind of control docks. Dock leaves, you know, the big dock
leaves.
Yeah,
that you'd rub on yourself if you get a sting from a nettle.
Yeah. Exactly. So keep them controlled because they cover the ground and they stop grass from growing. Thistles are another thing. You know, I mean, there's millions of seeds in thistles and they just blow away. And what was a little patch in the corner basically can become a field full before you're looking at them. Ragwort, I think there's actually a fatwa up on ragwort, you know. You're supposed to, it's a criminal offence to let ragwort grow on your farm. Dandelions, a lot of people are minding the dandelions now because they're very good for the bees. They're early season. Actually, there's dandelions out in full flipping bloom at the moment, and so the bees must be don't know what's happening. And then there's the daddy of them all, rushes. Now, rushes, if you let one rush grow, there will be 100 there the next time you look, and before you know where they are, they'll be as tall as yourself if you don't control them. And an awful lot of farms, particularly, say, do you know, part-time dry stock farms, that kind of, you know, a farm, it hardly pays them to do the work to get rid of them. Because there isn't a return out of it in terms of what it would cost to kind of reseed the field or drain it or do all the multitude of work. And then the soil that they grow in is a soil where there's just a bit of soil and then there's a kind of a blue mud. You know, it just the water doesn't permeate. The water doesn't get down through it. In other words, it's easier to say. The water doesn't get down through it, so it kind of sits there and it creates a great bed for growing rushes. And I've seen farmers now. I'm 30 years down in West Limerick, and I know all about rushes. And I have no sympathy for rushes. And I know there's people out there who probably love them, and the Bridget's Cross people will be delighted with them now as well. And I know they probably do provide habitat and all the rest of it, but it's all right to have a bit of the farm with habitat. I have no problem with, you know, corners of nettles for to keep the butterflies going or whatever it is, let them there. But it's when they literally take over and come right up to the front door nearly if you let them. But it's never really paid to do anything with them because the ground is heavy. It's not ground that you're going to be able to sow spuds in or sow grain in or put heavy cows on in November. It's not that kind of farmland. So you've seen the farmers who've gone into a new farm that they've taken over or rented, and they've gone in with optimism and hope, and they've put in the drains and they've, you know, reseeded the farm, and gradually you see the rushes claiming it back. And within 10 years, there they are. It's still, you know, I know the colour of every sort of rush. But anyway, I have fought the battle myself, and my husband has as well. But now, anyway, no one thought there was anything you could do with rushes except make St. Bridget's crosses out of them. But there's a new company down in County Clare. Well, it's actually part of a 4-year project where they're going to turn rushes into this thing called biochar. So basically what it is the farmer will be expected, a bit like the thrashing, the farmer will be expected to have cut the rushes and to have baled them up. Now, herein lies the problem. Rushes grow on wet ground, not on dry ground and good ground. It's wet land they grow on. And the problem with getting a tractor and a baler and a tractor and a mower in on them is that you more than likely be pulling it out at the other end because the ground isn't really up to it. Like, if farmers could get in and look after rushes every year and cut them and manage them, if they were able to do that, they'd do it. I mean, because there was rushes by the new time cut this year. But like this last summer is not every summer. And so I just foresee a little problem there to get them cut and to get them baled. But when they get them baled, anyway, this machine is going to be brought into the place. It's specially designed. It's using heat in a low oxygen environment. So it's kind of going to, I suppose, make it, it's going to chop it up even finer. And it's like charcoaling it. And it can be used then as a fertiliser for the ground, which is, you know, putting it back in.
Right, okay.
It's a biomass crop. It can be used on slurry pits to cut back on greenhouse emissions. It can also be used in animal feed. And there's €1 million being put into it, according to Bernard Carey, who's the project manager. Now, it's a project, it's a pilot that's down in Clare. It's been run on the Slieve-Ochty Mountains in East Clare, in the Burn and Connemara. So I'm afraid for the rest of us who are further afield from it,
we will
just watch and see.
I suppose it's too soon to say whether this is commercial. I suppose this is to see if it's commercially applicable.
Yeah, well, anything that cuts back on greenhouse emissions, and farmers, to be fair, are looking for ways of doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this can combine to be environmentally good, useful. Now, you know, the one little concern I'd have, I don't know whether the meadow pipit, whether they nest in rushes or not, and you know they're needed for the cuckoo, and I'm a big fan of the cuckoo, so that's the only little worry I'd have. But I don't think there's any fear of rushes dying out in Ireland.
Yes,
this is a 4-year project. It's down in County Clare. If it works, if they get good biomass out of it, if it's useful to the farmer, if they can pay for it or if somebody can pay for it and it turns into be a commercial crop, well, my goodness, I'll see it
all and, the better
love it. Yeah.
This is how long you've been doing this lot for. I can well remember when before milk quotas ended.
Yes.
We, you know, you explained many times what a milk quota was and what was going to happen. And,
we could only milk so much milk, and when the bucket was full, we got penalised, so it didn't pay to milk another.
Now we can milk our brains out. Where's the milk going? Now we're producing more milk, I suppose, is the point.
Yeah, we're producing more milk, and that's leading to a big demand in additional workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a 45% increase in the number of people working in the sector since the milk quotas went. And that's only, 2014, 2015, that kind of time. The Farmer Leave Service came out now and they said, look, they need another 100 at least seasonal workers. They have 250 recruited last year. They've 100 in. There's a 1,500 already operating operators. Now, the problem is that farmers need help on dairy farms at a particular time of the year. Coming up now in the next week or so, the cows will be starting to calve, and they'll be calving until the end of April, May. And calves will need to be looked after, and a lot of work to be done up to the early start of summer. And then things quieten down. Now, they didn't quieten down last year because they ended up, dairy farmers in the East Coast and the South ended up with winter conditions in the summer.
Yeah.
Now, what I mean by that was the weather was glorious, but the work that was having to be done was the equivalent of what had to be done in the winter. So there was no break from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chagas are estimating they're going to need 6,000 people in the sector by 2025. Now, that's no length away. And these are 6,000 new people. So they've got in, you know, the people who had absolutely no contact with agriculture and no background or anything to do with it. So 40 of them have been trained up on a dairy operative skills programme. And then they're also looking for more seasonal workers. So maybe women who are in the home, working in the home part time, you know, they could potentially do this work. Also potentially part-time farmers. So, and they're out all over the world in Ukraine and Lithuania, Northern Spain, New Zealand, looking for people to come in seasonally. So there's plenty of jobs there. If people are interested in milking cows in the outdoors, whatever, for a couple of months of the year, there's work there. And because of the demand for dairy, now, you know, we are producing more product. We're shipping far more of it to Europe now than we are, you know, the percentage that's we're shipping to the UK has dropped considerably. Now, it still is our biggest market. It's a huge market. But we have diversified very significantly over the place of the last couple of years. But anyway, with the cows, with shortage of labour, I had a group of 20 women last night, farm women, nearly all dairy farmers. I had them around the kitchen table talking about what's bugging them and what's worrying them and what are the issues for them, and, you know, help on the farm, quality of life, life-work balance, family time, health and safety, all of it falling out from we can't get good, reliable help.
Really?
So, so big issue. So one of the things was that Tuesday night was last night, wasn't it? There was a meeting in Tipperary yesterday, and over 250 farmers at it, and it was on what's called OAD, which is once-a-day milking. So, you know, there was farmers there who were doing it and who were swear by it. And one particular farmer milking 250 cows with the help of one part-time worker. I mean, if that was in a standard family situation, they'd nearly need two.
Yeah.
And the thing is that if you were, you know, if you were paying somebody farm manager wages, and you're putting them in to milk the second 100 cows, well, you're not going to see any of that income from those second 100 cows because it'll be going to keep
the wages paid.
And so anyway, you know, one of the big benefits from it is cows don't have to do so much walking. And, you know, they're happy with that. And even if they do a little bit of walking, they can walk a bit further to, you know, the farm that's two fields away or three fields on the other side of the road. And you can get them over to it, you know, without, you know, causing them any real harm.
And it's better for family life, of course.
And better for family life and time and all the rest.
Marie, thanks a million for coming in to us. Marie Lavery from the Farmers Journal. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.